We thank you for your prayers and support over the many years. Well, not many years, but several years, I guess. If I say many years, it'll kind of date some of us that are here tonight, and you might not appreciate that very much. Romans chapter 10. We're going to read starting in verse 9 here in a moment. Before we do, it was mentioned in the slides. I'll just kind of fill you in a little bit where we're at. We started the church where we're at 3 years ago now. We're in Santo Domingo on the south side of the island of the Dominican Republic, and it is an island located in the Caribbean, not in Africa, not in South America. I barely knew where it was when the Lord called me to go there. But been there 3 years now, and the Lord, starting about 3 years ago, about the time we started the church, the Lord put in our heart, little by little, and started drawing us more towards the north part of the country. We didn't know exactly where that was at first. I don't think we still know exactly as far as the exact location, exact people. We're planning to go to the city of San Francisco de Macorís. But in the south part of the island of the Dominican Republic, there have been, over the last 55 years or so, there have been, I don't know exactly, I'm going to throw out a number, maybe 100 or so, independent fundamental Baptist churches have been started. The vast majority run less than 100 or 150. There's a few, maybe 3, 4, 5, I'm not sure, that would run over 200. But in the north part of the island, if we draw a line from east to west through the middle of the country, that's the south part of the island, about half the population. In the north part of the island, we have the second largest city and about 4 million people, roughly half the population. And there are almost no churches in that part of the island. No independent fundamental churches. They're charismatic and obviously Catholic and Mormons and so forth and so on. There might be 5, maybe 8 churches that we would consider to be of like faith and practice. I'm not sure exactly. But there are very few. And the Lord started calling us and reaching and just touching us and burdening our hearts for that part of the country, little by little. And we started actually looking that way, and we're trying and working, trying to get some other missionaries to go up there. And you'll have to understand, it's a little bit of a slow process. If someone came up to me tonight and said, "Brother Luke, I want to go to the Dominican Republic." Well, even if you've already finished Bible college, it will be 2 or 3 or 4 years, maybe longer, before we actually see you in the Dominican Republic. It takes some time between deputation, between language school, and whatever else that might be involved in some cases. But we have 3 couples that are planning to go to the north part of the country. Besides ourselves, the Gruber family, the Payne family that you support here, and the Johnson family. And I don't know what God's going to do, but we're looking forward and praying that over a period of many years that we'll be able to break through the culture, break through into the hearts of the people, and that we'll be able to see a work done for the Lord there. Again, it's not something that we're planning to do tomorrow. I fully expect to be where we're at for the next couple of years or so. I don't know, but I fully expect that. It may be longer. But we feel the Lord leading us that way, and has burdened our heart for that. And we're praying and asking the Lord for maybe 5 couples to go to the area, general area, where we're planning to work, and maybe 5 other couples to go to another area in the north part of the island. So we're still lacking 6, if any, have anybody that's... Romans chapter 10. I ask that you stand with me, please, for the reading of the Word. Romans chapter 10, we're going to start reading in verse 9. A very famous passage of Scripture here. It's not going to be anything that you haven't heard, anything elaborate, but yet it's very important and very essential to the work that we have to do. The Bible says, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It continues in verse 14 and says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your goodness to us. We ask, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit tonight on your word as it's preached, on this preacher, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Convict us of sin. Show us what we need to do, Lord. Help us to do it. If there be one or more here tonight that perhaps doesn't know you as Savior, that they might be saved before they leave this place, we pray. Perhaps, Lord, you would touch the heart of someone for a particular area of service tonight, or to serve perhaps differently in the same area that they're in. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and obey you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. On the mission field in the Dominican Republic, there have been a number of things that have been trials in a sense, that have been tests in a sense, but there have been a number of things that we've just had to consider and think through and pray for wisdom and seek the face of the Lord and how we should do things. There are some things that we do as Baptists by tradition that the vast majority of our churches, Baptist churches, follow. And yet they aren't necessarily strictly in the Bible, although they may be in some cases based on Bible principles. You know, I've been thinking and over the last year or two, I guess, and realized that, you know, perhaps many of our heroes of the faith, as we might call them, and I don't mean to take away from what they've done, and yet in some cases these men that we look up to as heroes of the faith perhaps in some cases have made some real sacrifices and made some real and not in the good way, but they've done things that and made errors and things and committed sins that shouldn't have been done. And yet we look at them as heroes. I believe personally that some of our greatest heroes of the faith may be men and women that perhaps weren't that educated. Perhaps they were. I don't think that's of much consequence either way. Not that it's not good and important, but in what I'm talking about. Perhaps people that never were widely known. Perhaps people that when they pass away that earth may not remember that well. And yet, some of those people, I think, are going to be heaven's heroes. I think of the pastor of this church, Pastor Bob Ross, for many years. Perhaps not the most eloquent preacher ever. Perhaps not certain things that some might look at and say, wow, what a preacher. And yet there are two things that to me on the field, the mission field, have really stood out and have made a profound impact on my life. First of all, that he was faithful to serve the Lord. I didn't say perfect. I said faithful to serve the Lord. We know each other well enough to realize that neither of us is quite perfect. And you know me well enough, I think, to realize that. But faithful to serve the Lord, and faithful to the Word of God. And as we're on the mission field, sometimes you'll read something or run into a certain cultural issue. And you know, in Jasonville, Indiana, we really didn't have a problem with that issue, maybe. And yet I was taught how to deal with it. You just go back to what the Bible says, find out what it says, and go from there. And I'm so thankful for that. And that's so important in so many ways. And the Bible's talking in part about that here. It says, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? It's talking about the whole process of evangelism. And it says in verse 15, how shall they preach? What does it say? Except they be sent. Amen. We talk about this idea of sending out missionaries, sending out pastors, sending out Christian workers, raising Christian workers to serve the Lord here. Sometimes we look at our monthly missions giving and say, this is what we're appropriating to send out missionaries. And yes, that's true. But I think, and I hope, really, that that's been a very small part of it. Should be a relatively small part of it, I think. Not that it's not good and important and necessary, but it's not the whole picture. If I were to wind the clock back tonight, 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, there were many people, many of them still sitting here tonight, that had a profound impact on my life. And not that I'm anything great or perfect, but I've been able to take that to the Dominican Republic. And the people that you saw on the slides, many of them have been touched as a result of what you may have done 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. We talk about sending out missionaries, and sometimes some may say, well, I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of time. I don't even have a passport. What can I do? Well, many of you, I believe, may not be the heroes that earth sings of, that man sings of, that are written about in the books. And yet, there will be some notes, I think, made in heaven about certain things, and maybe things that were said, maybe just the example of a faithful life. There may be some other notes made of some people that didn't do what they were supposed to do in today or are reaping the consequences that maybe taught other lessons on the negative sense. But we talk about sending out missionaries, sending out pastors. I want you to understand tonight that each and every one of us, I believe, has the responsibility to be involved in that process. Again, I'm not talking strictly about money. We could talk about that, but that's not really where I'm heading. When I look at, and I'm not going to mention names tonight. I very well could, but I would miss many, so I'm not going to. But I could mention names of certain people. And some of those people would say, you know, I didn't have that much of an impact on that kid's life. Maybe you're right, maybe you weren't. But you had a faithful example down through the years. 20 years ago, you were still in this church, still serving the Lord. And again, we know each other well enough to realize that neither of us is perfect. You know my hang-ups, I know yours. But you had a desire to serve the Lord. You're faithful to serve the Lord. And the Lord's blessed them. And again, faithfulness in Christian service, faithfulness to the Word of God, two of the greatest examples, two of the greatest things that we can have. And maybe others would say, but, you know, there's been those that have taught certain things, others that have perhaps helped me in my Christian life, and not just me, but many others. I'm using myself as an example just because I happen to be the one that gets to do the talking tonight. But if others were here, they would say the same thing. And it's so important and so necessary. And don't lose sight of that. I would hope that 15, 20, and 30 years from now, perhaps some of the young people, they're sitting here tonight, and the church will have the opportunity to minister to and work with over a period of years, that they might one day be able to come back and say, you know, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, you know, they never had the opportunity to go anywhere. Maybe they've never even been in an airplane or a boat. Maybe they never tried to speak another language. Maybe they can't even give that much to missions. And yet they've done more than they ever realized. Perhaps it was just raising their kids to serve the Lord. Perhaps it was just surrendering themselves by their testimony and their example. Sometimes we get caught up in the programs and the methods and the ways. Well, and that may be well and fine, but we can't lose sight of the basics. We still have to be faithful to the Lord. That's essential. That's at the base of it all. We have to be faithful to the Word of God. Just do what God says. I could point out a number of preachers and different workers and say, you know, before this person came along, this Sunday school didn't exist. Before this person went and started a church in this area, there weren't any churches. By the grace of God, they've just said, you know, this is what God's given us to do. We're just going to do it. And I've been blessed in having this church as my sending church. And I'd like to thank you for it. Thank you for your example. Thank you for what you've done over the years I'm hopeful that you can rejoice in what the Lord is doing, not just through our ministry, but in all of those that perhaps you've had the opportunity to work with and influence. You know, I remember the church that we had over here in the great metropolis of Wilford, Indiana. I think the building is still standing. I think the outer building in the back is gone now, I believe. There was a little path that, you know, we talk about having sewage problems here, you know. We didn't have those when the group met at Wilford. There were no issues to write home about or to complain about. We just followed a little path to the back, and it all worked out. But, you know, that was those were simple days in many ways. I guess we didn't even have a set of speakers in there. I remember Pastor Ross got a microphone just so he could tape the services, but there weren't any speakers that I ever remember. And yet we had a spirit there, and Blessed Hope too, but we had a spirit there, and the Lord worked there and did many things there. And it wasn't because of the building. It wasn't because of the other building. It was just because we had a group of people that wanted to serve the Lord, and the Lord met with us there, and it was that way, Blessed Hope, too, many years. And the Lord was good to us. You know, I'm almost embarrassed, really, to show these slides, because it almost jades it up and put it to music, and it sounds good and pretty and all of that. But you know that, and I think it helps somewhat to get the idea across. But that's not what it's really all about. It's about people. It's about souls. It's about serving the Lord. But we don't, you know, sometimes we, you know, we get excited when the pastor announces a new program, and I hope that we can, and that's good. But when we look at all these other things, but you know, perhaps more than anything, we need people that will just serve the Lord, just be faithful, just do what they're supposed to do. If we have that, we don't have to have all the fancy facilities. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have, but they're not necessary. We don't have to have the pretty chandeliers and the paved parking lot and the so forth and so on. And maybe they're good things and appropriate, but they're not necessary things. And I'm just thankful tonight for that. It says, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? What I'm getting at tonight, many of you have never seen those people that were there. And yet, as my Spanish teacher said in Costa Rica, you know, Luke, I get a percentage. He said, of every soul that you see saved in the Dominican Republic, I get a percentage. Because I taught you Spanish. But you know that there's a lot of truth to that. Were it not for those who did that, and I could look after, you know, after I left to college and the people that in college that influenced my life and helped me, were befriended me and taught me and so forth and so on. I could look later at the churches on deputation that, in a sense, took us under their wing and supported us. I could look at my brother and help that he gave me on deputation. And many other people and things. They were all necessary and important. But really, it was just everyone working together, just doing what they're supposed to do. And the Lord's blessing. Now, to be honest, we haven't seen nearly as much done in the Dominican Republic as we might have liked to in some ways. We're talking about going to the north part of the island. And frankly, I think it's going to be slower and more difficult than where we are now in the first few years. It may be 5 or 10, 15 years after we get there before we really start to see a lot happen. But I'm hopeful. I would, if the Lord should tarry and the Lord would allow it to happen, perhaps in 40 or 50 years, perhaps within my natural lifetime, if the Lord should tarry, the Dominican Republic is small enough, and if we get enough missionaries, I believe we can have a major impact, perhaps creating a Bible Belt, so to speak, in the Dominican Republic. Amen. And I don't know what the Lord's going to do. And if that happens, I think it's going to be a slow process. I'll take you back another example. Us three kids are here tonight. My parents were married in 1950. Now, to many of us, that was before the Dark Ages. But you know, it was just the two of them for a little while. Then it was just the four of them, Mom and Dad and Jim and Terry, for many years, till the mid-70s. Then Jim and Terry went and got married. Then they started having kids. Mom and Dad, thankfully, had another child. And their family started to grow. I don't know if you've been over to their house lately or not, but just about every time the phone rings now, that's it's the news of another grandchild or great-grandchild or somebody getting married or somebody being born. And I don't know how many in the family now. I've lost track a while back. Mom would be happy to tell you. But it was a slow process. You know, but they got the ball rolling, and with the passage of time, I've actually got a pretty large family now. Sometimes with the work of the Lord, sometimes planting churches, sometimes soul winning, can be much the same thing. You may not see a whole lot now. By the grace of God, if we're just faithful and just do what we're supposed to do, the Lord will bless. Perhaps those few that He might give us, we can train and we can disciple and we can work and help them, get them to see others saved. Perhaps 30, 40, and 50 years from now, we could see something much greater than perhaps we might ever have imagined. I'd just like to encourage you tonight, just be faithful. Just do what you're supposed to. If the Lord calls you to the Dominican Republic, I'll be happy. If He calls you to go somewhere else, out east or wherever it might be, I'll be thrilled. But really what we need to do is be faithful serving the Lord where He's called us. Just do what we're supposed to do. And the impact that we will have just doing what God wants us to do, I believe will be perhaps. God has a way of asking us and forcing us, in a sense, to give up everything to Him. We call it surrender, right? But when we do that, what happens? Brother Jack's a farmer here. We've used the example many times, but he had to surrender that seed to the ground, throw it away, essentially. And the idea being that a few months later, he'll be able to reap a great harvest. And then repeat, wash, rinse, and repeat. Just do it all over again. But the crop keeps multiplying. And, you know, we need to do that with our lives, to give ourselves to the Lord. Paul said, I die daily. Surrender our lives to Him. Be faithful to His will. And the Lord has a way of taking our little bit and turning it into a whole lot. But whatever He makes out of it, that's really in His hands. But how much better is it to throw ourselves completely on Him than to try to make it through life with our own wisdom, our own strength? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I can tell you my plans for tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. A lot of things could happen. But I know someone who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And not only that, that person loves us. He wants to guide us through the tomorrow. But He wants us to surrender our lives to Him. I'm going to close in prayer. If you have any questions about anything pertaining to the ministry of the Dominican Republic, please ask. We'll be here, Lord willing, until next Tuesday. Let's pray, and I'll ask Pastor Jerry to come and to close the service tonight. Father, thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Lord, You've been so good to us in so many ways. We thank You for it tonight. You blessed us beyond measure. We ask, Lord, that You would continue to work in our hearts. Speak to us. Help us to be totally surrendered, Lord, to Your will. That You might take us and use us for Your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.